Welcome to Zanzana. I have the pleasure to have with me Herbert Glass of Dragony. Hi, Herbert.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. So a little, I present Dragony. Dragony, it's Herbert Glass who plays bass. Manuel Hartleb who played keyboards. Simon Saito, guitars, Secret Summer, vocals, Frederick Bruder, who plays drums, Andreas Popernich, who plays guitars. The albums Legends in 2012, Shadowplay on 2015, Lords of the Hunt 2017, Masters of the Multiverse in 2018 and Virus Unities on 2021. These are the songs, 11 songs on the album of Blood and Noob, Gods of War, Love You to Death, Magic, Darkness Within, IOU, Virus Unities, gave the name of the album. Golden Dawn, Made of Metal, Cyberpunk Joseph, Battle Royale, Legends Never Die, and in German, Haben Sie Wünschen die Nacht geschehen. I don't know if I spell it well.
almost correct.
Almost.
It's Austrian German, on top of being German.
Okay. So, thank you very much for being with us today. Dragony, this new album came 4 days ago. I think it's on 15 January.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So it's the fourth album, and it's a concept album. It's something, some way, coming back in what you did in the first album. It's a concept album of opera rock.
Yeah. With a very heavy influence of power metal, of course, because we are still Dragony.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to go back to...
The concept, yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to go back to the roots a little bit and do a concept record again. That was pretty clear from the beginning when we started talking about a new CD after Masters of the Multiverse. And then we talked about, okay, which kind of concept, what could we do? And we looked at and listened to other bands and other concept records. And then we figured the alternative history thing hasn't been done much in heavy metal. So let's give it a shot. And after that was clear to us, one thing led to another. With us being a band from Austria, of course, we're going to do Austrian history. And one of the most prominent things in Austrian history is the end of the Habsburg monarchy, the end of the imperial times, and these big figures like Empress Elizabeth, also known as Sissi, or Emperor Franz Joseph. But then we put a little twist on it, I would say.
Yeah. Sissi, I think everyone in the world that has a little bit of culture and historic culture or even films, for him, it's Romy Schneider, I think, who who played the role of Sissi in a very famous film, I think 40 or 15 years ago. 50 years ago.
Or more, I think. I'm not sure how old they are, but they are very old. And at least in Austria, every year around Christmas, they're going to play heavily on TV.
Yeah, of course. It's like for us, when you play Risella, it's the messenger in all the Arabic lands. So you say alternative history.
Yeah.
How is it? What is alternative history?
We are huge fans of video games like Castle Wolfenstein, or films like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer or Inglourious Basterds. And yeah. Each of those things takes real historic events or historic people and puts them into a new context, into a new story. And we are a power metal band. Magic has to play a role in everything we do. And So it's the same for this record. The story starts with the Austrian-Hungarian Treaty. And then after that, in real history, Crown Prince Rudolf committed suicide. In our story, he fails to do that and instead falls into a deep depression and starts to dabble with black magic and dark forces. And then the story of the album takes its course. It ends with a zombified Sissy possessed by a demon, fighting her husband, Emperor Franz Joseph, who is in a cyberpunk mecha suit.
Yeah, that can be very big video games.
Yeah, it would be a great game. Yeah. It would be a great movie. Or production or comic book.
Yeah. And making something like that, how did they react in Austria? It's because I think Sissy is someone who is very, it's an icon.
Yeah, she is an icon. She's still a huge cult figure around here. And especially Austrians, if I dare say, Austrians look forward to the past, and We are still fond of the imperial times, although the system with democracy and everything that we have right now is obviously better, but still it's still in the collective memory somehow. And yeah, as far as I can tell, people reacted astonished at first, and then it's like, that's awesome. That's great. That's only guys like you can think of something like this. It's crazy, but it's awesome.
Yeah, because I think with the role of Romy Schneider and the film, Sissy is, I think, not only an icon, but also an angelic figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you changing an angel to demon, that was the switch with you.
Yes, but well, we still do heavy metal, and It's always going to be some darkness somewhere, and this is part of the darkness of the album. I mean, the music is very uplifting. It's made to put you into a good mood, but still there has to be darkness somewhere. And in this case, it's in the story and a little bit in the lyrics.
Yeah. There's Tarek is here. Hello, Karim and Herbert. Tarek Ben Sesi, guitarist of a Tunisian band whose name Cartagots. I don't know if you know that band, Cartagots. And Rehab is here. Hello, happy people. What I'd like to hi Rehab. Let's see the video clip of God of War, and after we speak a little more about the album.
Sounds good.
Let's go. Dragoni on the Zanzana live streaming show with Herbert Gloss, blast player of Agony. Thank you very much, Herbert, for being with us. When you hear this song, Gods of Fire, it's the power metal song, the typical power metal song. Lots of BPM, very fast BPM, and the melody. And it was a recommendation of the of the label to have songs like this, hits, something that's is typic of a power metal song.
I must say, Napalm Records didn't really interfere with the recordings. They didn't say, yeah, you're a power metal band, you're Dragony, you need 5 fast songs and 2 slow songs or something like that. They left us a completely free choice of about what we would do and what we can do. The only time they said something was because in the beginning, we thought about having another intro to the album. Right now we have On the Blue Danube, one of the most famous Austrian classical pieces. And before that, we thought about doing the Kaiserhymne. But then the label said, yeah, it's a good idea, but it might have political annotations. And we honestly didn't really think about that. And they explained it to us. And yeah, of course, we are not a political band. We don't want to convey any political message whatsoever. So we didn't do the Kaiserhymne, and instead we did On the Blue Danube, which I think is actually a better opener for the record.
Yeah, and it's like a name of Austria and of the of that time, you know, the falls and all the balls, how we say it in English, you know, the dance and the
the balls.
The balls, yeah, it's something that still nowadays it's very important, and with COVID-19 this year, no balls at all.
No, not really, except for one, and this has to actually to do with the music piece On the Blue Danube. There's a huge tradition in Austria. On New Year's Eve, exactly at midnight, when the new year begins, every radio station or every big radio station plays this song, and you are supposed to waltz into the new year. And that's so, at least there was this waltz in the small private New Year's Eve gatherings, or no gatherings, just at home with your partner, hopefully. And that's, apart from that, due to COVID, there's no ball season this year. And when there's not a pandemic going on, this is still a huge part of Austrian culture.
Yeah, and I think in December, January, there's every day a ball, you know, for the...
Every week. A big one, so at least.
Yeah. And the other thing in Austria that's still a tradition, I think, is the Philharmonic Orchestra of the 1st January.
Yes.
That is broadcasted in all the TVs.
Yes. That's still a huge thing. And they played this year, but without an audience, in the concert hall, but still with TV crews and everything.
Yeah. Being Austrian, is it something that's making symphonic metal, you know? It's power metal, but it's power symphonic metal, the music of Dragony. Is something that's, that you had to do it. It's in a tradition, it's...
We felt it was not a given thing, But we wanted to do power metal. We wanted to do metal that brings a good mood to people, that's uplifting, that's fast. And the symphonic elements are a very nice addition to that. And so we kind of took the opportunity to dive into our Austrian heritage and add symphonic elements. But the way we think, the way we understand our music, we would have done the symphonic elements even if we are not from Austria.
Yeah. We say hello to Mathieu, who is here. Everyone that is looking at us can ask a question if he wants by leaving a comment on YouTube channel or in Facebook. Let's go to the beginning, Herbert. How did you meet with Dragony? How began the journey of Dragony?
That's many years ago. years ago.
2007, I think.
2007, at the end of 2007, we met each other for the first time. The project was founded by our former guitar player, Daniel Stockinger, and our singer, Siegfried Zahmer, as the Dragon Slayer project. And it was more, back then, the idea behind it was more of a rock opera kind of project, similar to Avantasia, for example.
Yeah.
And then they started to gather around some people and started to rehearse regularly. And after a few months, they found me, or I don't know if it was even months or just weeks. And after a few weeks in the rehearsal room, we wanted to play live. And then we did first live shows in 2008. And it was a transition to becoming a real band instead of a project. And then, we continued our way as a band. And we still had the name, the Dragon Slayer Project, which is kind of long and kind of not catchy. So we changed it to Dragony, recorded the first album, released it via Limp Music, and that's how the beginning goes. For me, it was, I think I started playing bass guitar at home a year or something, 1.5 years before that, and playing guitar alone at home is a rather boring thing. And I went online and searched in a web forum, which was hosted by the city of Vienna back then, and typed in, I listen to these kinds of bands. I started playing bass guitar. It's pretty boring doing that at home and learning it at home alone. And I'm looking for like-minded people just to join and play some metal. Maybe the best thing to start would be just cover stuff. Just play some Metallica, play some Iron Maiden, play some AC/DC, Black Sabbath, the classics. And pretty soon I found these guys. They had patience with me and they taught me a lot of stuff. But at the same time, as soon as I had other people to play with, my learning curve rose to the heavens. And that's the story.
It's a fantastic way of the curve. It's from being learning to play bass at home, and after being now with four albums and playing power metal symphonic music, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who were listening to when you wanted to play bass? Who are your hero, your icons?
My personal favorite band back then until now is Blind Guardian. But one of the biggest influences for me to choose the bass guitar was the first concert I've been to on by myself. That was Nightwish. I think it was in 2005 in Vienna. And there I saw Marco Hirtara on the stage playing the bass guitar, looking demonic and just being so cool. And that's one of the, he's one of the reasons I picked up the bass guitar, actually. And I think it's a little bit sad, but he has to do it for himself that he quit Nightwish recently.
Yeah, good. That's what I was going to ask you. Don't make like Marco and go on retirement.
No, I'm too young for that. Yeah, but it's he's one of my youth heroes, and for playing the bass guitar, he's an icon. And other heroes of mine include Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, of course, and also Billy Sheehan from Mr. Big. He's an amazing bass player.
Yeah, you talk about Steve Harris. Look, Marwan Selmi, playing Steve Harris bass guitar must be fun.
Yeah, it is. Back then, when I started playing, I tried to play Iron Maiden, but actually I didn't really, I wasn't really able to play Iron Maiden, but I still tried. A few years later, I could play this, basically everything I put my mind on. But sometimes Iron Maiden bass is special. You have to get the feeling for this. You really have to live the song, or at least I do, to play it. But I think it was last year. No, last year was a pandemic. 2 years ago, I played on Donauinselfest, a huge festival in Vienna, with some friends of mine, and we did an Iron Maiden cover. We played The Wicker Man. And that was just great fun.
Yeah. Maruzzi, by the way, hi everyone. Hi, Lauren. And Khaled Chabelsi, hi Khaled, who is in Switzerland. And Mathieu Legris, hello everyone. What is the Herbert Gloss? What makes Herbert Gloss different as playing bass? What is your secret? Is it the way of playing, the sound, it's the technique? What makes you special?
Let me think for a second. I've never really thought about that. Well, one thing is, I actually... and even live, I really try to play to finger pick everything.
Yeah.
There are one or two or three songs I just can't because they are too fast, and the string gets in the way of the fingers sooner or later, and I have to use the pick. But that's talking for about songs 180, 200 BPM, which are quite fast. And I even finger pick those usually, but if there's the song is just 4 minutes of 16th notes, I just use the pick. Apart from that, what makes me special? I think it's, I have a very good ability to connect to a drummer and to really play with the drums, and the guitars have to play with the drums and the bass guitar. And sometimes it may be a little at fault, because usually I don't really listen to guitars. I listen to the drums or sometimes the click if I have it in my ear. And the rest is, for me, it's feeling and practice. And doing stuff over and over again, even if you're dead tired of it, And if there is a hard lick, a hard fill that's hard to master for me, I play it until I can't hear it anymore. But it's necessary, because if you want to go on tour, if you want to play live shows, you have to be able, if someone wakes you up in the middle of the night, pushes the bass guitar into your hand and says, play this now, you have to do it perfectly.
Yeah. Reaction from Johan, Iron Maiden's just the best. I know, Herbert, that you also play with Voice of Atlantis.
Yes.
What? You play with Dragony and you play with Voice of Atlantis. Is it the same Herbert Gloss that plays in the two bands?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
the stage outfits differ. The music is basically the same genre, but a little bit different. Visions of Atlantis is usually a little bit more calm. There's less fast-paced power metal songs, more symphonic metal. But still, it's the same guy. I don't change attitude. I don't change behavior, depending on the band.
Yeah. With Dragony and playing with in the style, power metal style, do you listen to other bands in this style? Like, I don't know, Dragon Force, that's maybe they are one of the most speedy power metal band?
Yeah. I myself listen to a lot of power metal. Basically my journey started with Manowar, and then when I talked to my big brother about that, yeah, I discovered this band, it's so amazing, there's everything in there that I've always missed from radio and MTV and things like that. And then he looked at it and said, oh yeah, Manowar, that's a good starting point. And back then I was like 11 years old or something, and I told him, I'm never gonna listen to anything else. That changed, obviously. Then my brother gave me a CD he put together himself, full of MP3s with Iron Maiden, with Hammerfall, with Blind Guardian, with Nightwish, and other bands. And I started listening to that. And especially for Iron Maiden, I listened to the first time to Iron Maiden, but I knew the songs already, because I heard all of them when I was way younger from the room of my big brother.
Yeah.
So my big brother is also at fault for what I am today.
Yeah.
Apart from that, yeah. I love a lot of power metal bands. Like I said, Hammerfall, Blind Guardian, Avantasia, Edguy, Iron Maiden, but it's Iron Maiden is new wave of British heavy metal, of course, and so many that I just can't think of right now. From the newer bands,
yeah.
I'm pretty fond of Gloryhammer and Brothers of Metal. Really like those. And Beast in Black is also very cool. And so many bands, but I'm so bad with remembering things on the spot.
Yeah. It's always a special relation a bit, drums with bassist.
Yeah.
Can tell is this a drummer as a drummer, yeah. And to always consider the same level of playing anytime, anywhere makes you professional.
Yeah, because if the drums and the bass don't play together, then you have no foundation, then everything falls apart. And you need a
He said, any love for black death metal bands?
Yes. A little bit less than for melodic metal. But I'm really fond of Summoning, also from Austria. I like Askeria. I used to listen to Vatein when I was younger and Eisregen. And death metal, I really love Flesh God Apocalypse. They're amazing, especially live. I like Cataclysm, but I haven't listened to them in a year or two now. And Belphegor is always nice, Behemoth is always nice, but for the extreme metal in general, when I listen to it, after three or four songs, I have enough, and then I need something else. But for these three or four songs, I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. And bands, you know, I think like Behemoth or bands like make Black Metal Symphonic or Death Metal Symphonic. Well, oh, it's too hard for you.
I like those. I like those.
Yeah.
Like I said, Flesh God Apocalypse, the first time I heard it, it was like, whoa, what's going on? And then I listened to it again because it was, whoa, what's going on? But at the same time, that's really interesting. And then I started to like them, and I've seen them live a couple of times, and the live shows of Flesh God are amazing. Especially the drummer, he's an insane machine.
Yeah. So let's listen to another song if you want. Just choose Legends Never Die or Golden Dawn.
Let's do Golden Dawn because it's more of the typical dragony sound.
Let's go. Dragony on the Zanzana live streaming show with Herbert Gloss. Thank you very much another time, Herbert, for being with us. Let's remember the new album of Dragony, who is this one, Verbus Unitis, that is now from last Friday, I think, 15 January, in all the... It's on sale, you can buy it. A concept album with Amnesty, with CC and Franz Joseph, I think. And is it now, is it going to be a signature with Dragony to be, to always record album, concept album with one story, a unit of time, unit of place?
No, I wouldn't say so. We haven't decided yet how exactly the next record, the next CD is going to look like. If it's going to be a concept or songs individually, or maybe half a concept record like Masters of the Multiverse, we don't know yet. But I think the public opinion on this one is pretty good. So we will look into that in the future, definitely. But nothing's decided for now.
Yeah, because it reminds me a little bit of Sabaton, that I had the pleasure to interview them last year when they came to Tunisia to record their clip. And I think there's Tommy of Sabaton that joined you and helped you some way.
True that. He is one of the co-songwriters. He's one of the songwriters for the first song we listened to today, for Gods of War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... he had just for one song, or you gave you advice for all the album?
It was just this one song. Tommy is, what I know, he's pretty good friends with our singer Siegfried, and they are quite regularly in contact. And one day Siegfried was telling him, "Yeah, we're going to do a new album, and it's going to be historic, but not really, and a power metal record, of course." And yeah, then Tommy said, "Yeah, wait, maybe I have something for you." And then he sent fragments of the song over, because it wasn't finished. And he put us in touch with Thomas Svedin, the other songwriter of the song. And all together, as a group effort, we finished the song. But the collaboration with Tommy from Sabaton was on this record for just this one song. Like on the last record for Masters of the Multiverse, there he played one guitar solo, but it was also just this one song.
Yeah, maybe the difference, the big difference between Dragony and Sabaton is Sabaton tried to tell real facts in history, and Dragony puts more fantasy in the history.
We are definitely having our own angle, because there are historic metal bands out there. There's Sabaton, there's Serenity, and we wanted to do our own thing and give the Dragony touch to everything. So we made this absolute ridiculous story.
Yeah. So let's see if there. Okay, Johan say there's some influence from the Labyrinths. Nice song. But the last song that you listened to. And Marwen, you get a new fan. You get a new fan. Thanks a lot.
Glad to hear.
Yeah. Sorry. So, How long did take the process of writing this new album and before going to record it?
That's hard to tell. I think songwriting, I can't really say. I can only guess that the songwriting took about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
But then we weren't quite finished, but we started recording the demo tracks of the finished songs while still writing the other. We're still finishing the album. I really can't say. I would guess 5 or 6 months, which was also, of course, influenced by the pandemic because we couldn't gather together so often. And we had to share a lot over the internet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the question right now about this pandemic. Is it the album a fruit of the pandemic and the confinement and to be closed, to be in your houses, maybe give you more time to think about the music, about composition, about the writing, about the melody?
A little bit, but not about the melodies or the main hooks, the main themes of the songs. It's more about the details, the small things that most of the people wouldn't even notice, I guess. But due to the pandemic, the recording process took a long time too. That was about 3 or 4 months, because again, we couldn't be all together in the studio, and we had to go each individually and record our own stuff when there was time, when there was no restrictions or things like that, and we had time after our day jobs or in between. And it was sometimes for the guitars on Monday and Tuesday, one of the guitar players was recording rhythm guitars. Then on Wednesday, I could play the bass guitar for maybe 5 or 6 or 7 songs. And then we had a break for almost a week because we couldn't do nothing. And then we continued with recording stuff. So it was influenced by the pandemic. But at the same time, it gave us a little bit more time to reflect on the stuff we have done, on the small details, a little bit more time to think about everything.
Yeah, but it's more difficult because you're not recording as a band, but you're recording as individuals.
A little bit, yeah. But I think we managed to do that in this case, and we still have a very good product in the end. But it was difficult.
Yeah, I think the most difficult is to stay focused on the on the line, to not go right or left and be focused.
Yeah, not really. In a modern studio environment, you always have the click track. If you don't have recorded drums yet, or if the drums have not been recorded yet, you have programmed drums in the demo tracks. So everything is there. You stay on track, you stay in time. But it was more about who is playing exactly what in a verse, for example. And we couldn't really talk about that or listen to a few ideas because after a few weeks, we started to run out of time. So then we just made decisions, or one of us, whoever was recording, made decisions for everybody else on this particular 5 seconds in a song. But as far as I can tell, all of these decisions have been very good ones, and it worked out.
Yeah, maybe it make that the difficulty make you jump a scale, I think,
maybe.
And to be better.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the other difficulty now is making out an album now, 15 January, 1, There's still pandemic. Yep. Two, you can defend the album by going on tour and to go on stage and make concerts.
Yep.
That's another difficulty.
Yeah, it is. But in this case, this is out of our hands. The plans for the release, the business plans, the label plans, everything, this is done months beforehand. Half a year or a year beforehand, this is things like that are decided. And yeah, it's very hard to change things. And for a smaller band like Dragony, labels usually don't change things around. It's a shame that we can't go on tour right now, but we plan to do that as soon as possible, as soon as we can, as soon as this whole situation is hopefully resolved. Until then, we plan to do a live show, a live streaming show.
I was asking you, right?
Yeah, we wanted to do this in February, but now we have got new restrictions in Austria and extended harder lockdown, so we can't do that. But we're going to announce details for that soon. So there's at least that, and at least we can play live, even if it's via the internet. And I'm really looking forward to that. And apart from that, it's basically impossible to tell when you can a band perform again. When will concerts be a thing again? I hope it's rather sooner than later, but right now, I can't say.
Yeah, I think no one can say. Hope that this pandemic will go with the vaccine and the new test and all the new experiments that are made in France and Italy. I think did you hear about Barcelona, where they made a concert with 1,000 people that came? It had a rapid test of COVID, and if it's negative, you can go and see the concert. And after 8 days or no one was sick, no one was ill. So maybe there's this is another hope for the business.
Yeah, maybe
the concert business.
Maybe that's the way to go. Hello, this is
Hi. Hi.
He's a very, very curious cat.
And maybe yesterday. I opened even yesterday with Aeternum, the drummer had his cat on the show. So
nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Cats and the internet, they are made for each other.
Yeah.
Maybe with mandatory tests, it's a way to go until this pandemic is resolved. But it can't be the way, or it can't stay like that forever.
Yeah, it can't stay, of course. If you're going to make a live streaming show, are you going to do it in Vienna Castle with, 18th century, suits and.
We're gonna wear our stage outfits, of course, but. The details, now that we have had to postpone it without even announcing it, actually, we are still in talks about the details. Yeah. We will announce everything as soon as it's ready. But right now, the only thing I can say is we want to do it. We're talking about it. We're planning it. And stay tuned for news.
And how do you keep in touch with the fans, with the Dragony fans?
Via social media and email. Everything on the accounts, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, it's the band guys. We don't have a team or anything. We're doing this ourselves. And for us, this is a great way to stay in touch with the people.
Yeah. And the Dragony fans, when the album came out in 15 January, did you, for these 4 days, do you read all the comments on social media about the album? What the fans or people think about the album?
Usually we do. When they are on our own pages, we read all of them. When we have the time and we see something like a discussion going on, for example, Reddit or on other websites or other Facebook sites, we read those as well when we can find them and as soon as we have the time for that.
Yeah. The evolution of Dragony from the beginning to now, it's about what? It's about individual rehearsal, reading critics, fans comments.
I would say it's about growing together as a band, as musicians, as individuals. We listen to critics in the form of, if they deliver constructive criticism, we gladly take that into account. If some people, like, if the criticism is just like, I hate power metal, this band has to suck. Okay, that's your opinion, man. But we can't do anything with this kind of feedback, so we ignore it.
Yeah.
I would say it's growing as a band, growing as musicians, growing all together. And there is the second cat.
Marwen, why not come in better days with a concert in Tunisia?
We'd love to, really. The only thing is that Dragony is a rather small band, and it's hard for us to play shows outside of Central Europe. And it's hard for us to get somewhere and to find a promoter that would host a show for us. And yeah, we'd love to do that. But before we can do that, we have to grow a little bit as a band.
Yeah. And he says also the Dragony Cats.
Yeah.
Okay, now the album is out. The album is on store. Do you listen to it?
Yes.
Because I know that there's, the painter that every time wants to change something in the painting, even if it's sold, you know?
Well, we worked long and hard on this album. And we did everything to the best of our conscious and abilities. So for me, it's easy to listen to it because right now this is peak performance. But I don't see any flaw right now, but I'm very close to it still. So in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to listen to it again. And then I'm going to find things. Pretty sure. I always did. With the previous records. But right now I listen to it quite a lot and I really like it. I like the flow of the songs after each other and I like the songs individually. I like the sound. I like everything. And I'm not yet sick of the album, which is also a good sign.
Yeah. do you find things in the previous albums? Maybe the first album?
I find things that nowadays I would do different, but back then it was the best I could do. It was the best we could do as a band. So it's perfectly fine. But if we would do this record now, it would sound different. It would be a different record. It's hard this to convey my feelings right now.
Yeah, this is maybe why when some bands play old songs, they play differently than the album when they record it. So, are there some other video clips that you recorded and are going to support the album in the future days?
Not at the moment, but we never say never. We have to look. Right now, we burned through all the budget that we had. If the record sells well, and if we earn enough money with it, then we're going to do a little bit more to support the record, especially since we can't go on tour right now. But right now, there's nothing planned, but we never say never.
Yeah. You decided to change from label, going to Lame to Napalm Records. It's a bigger label. But there are a lot of bands that decided to share their albums as individuals, as independent now, you know, because they say that this is not the very good time to collaborate with a label.
Yeah,
because of the it's a money back thing, I think.
Yes, that's true. But to be able to do that, you have to have a certain amount of standing, and you have to have a certain fan base to be able to do that, because recording is expensive. Everything else surrounding the album, it's not only just recording, it's mixing and mastering, it's producing merchandise, it's having the artwork drawn, it's so much more. It's video shoots, it's photo shoots, and the list goes on. It's expensive. And to earn this money back by yourselves, you have to be a bigger band than Dragony. Then you can do that. And then that's a good way, I guess. But I've never looked at the numbers. I don't know, actually. For us, the deal with Napalm Records, it's great. It's an honor. It's an honor to have signed with a label like Napalm.
Yeah, it's one of the top labels. And I think it's one of the way for Dragony to enlarge his fan base and to be bigger. And Marwan says, so even with Napalm, it's your footprint in this production.
I don't think I quite understand.
So, maybe it's your... even with your collaboration, I think, what he thinks, even with the collaboration with Napalm Records, Dragony... took their decisions on her way and made all the decisions by Dragony, and Napalm didn't interfere very much in the recording and the album. And the...
Definitely. Napalm basically didn't interfere at all.
Yeah.
They suggested some things, but they didn't interfere. They didn't say, you have to change something. They did not say, you have to add this, or this can't be on the record, or something like that. Not at all. They left us to our own devices and own decisions, which is a great thing. Cat.
Great cat. So, thank you very much, Herbert. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Glad to be here. Glad to have been here.
And hope to see you one day, maybe in Tunisia for a concert. Why not?
Would be great. Tanaka. Say goodbye.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much for this moment, and good luck with Dragony, and good luck, I remember, with this new album. Here is it, Virbuts Unitis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Zanzana, l'émission métal.